Good morning. I'd like to invite you to take out the notes in your bulletin. And if you need a Bible, if you just raise your hands, our ushers will make sure you have a copy. As Pastor King said, our focus for four is the Azerbaijani people. The service is focusing on the Azerbaijani people. And the theme for the service is triumph in Christ. And so to start out, I'd like us to read together the first verse printed in your notes together. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace toward us in Christ. We thank You for the freedom to worship like this, which in many countries is not a freedom they enjoy. Father, thank You for the power of Your Word and Your Holy Spirit's ability to speak to us, not only to understand, but apply Your Word. We pray that You would speak to our hearts this morning and You would be glorified as the team shares. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, God rocked Tanya's and my world. See, we had prayed for God's direction for our family, and we firmly believed that God wanted us to parent more children. But Tanny miscarried twice, and that threw her lupus. She has a mild case of lupus. Her lupus went into a flare, and she had chronic pain, fatigue, and was on prednisone for many months. We were so discouraged and confused. Had we misunderstood God's leading? Well, we prayed, and we sought God, and when Tanny's health improved, God led us into foster parenting and eventually adoption. We had no idea He had such awesome twin blessings for us through that experience in Keenan and Alicia, who are entering high school this year. Picture in your mind a time when you really believed that God wanted something to happen in your life. You believed it was God's will. It was the desire of God's heart, you thought, and it didn't happen. What did you do? What did you think? You see, we all experience those points of discouragement, and sometimes they're huge and they rock our lives. Well, the Apostle Paul experienced one of those. He was called to proclaim the gospel and was doing it faithfully with a team to plant churches. And when he had sent Titus, one of his team members, back to Corinth to see how they were doing, he planned to meet him in Troas. Well, when Paul arrived in Troas, Titus wasn't there. And Paul, Scripture says, was depressed. He was so discouraged because Titus wasn't there. He was so concerned about Titus and his welfare and how the Corinthians were doing in their faith. But when Titus met him in Macedonia and reported on their faith, Paul realized God was working not through his plan, but through a much better plan. And God had a perspective for Paul, and it only was realized as Paul started out in a point of discouragement and then sought God and saw God's will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 and 6, it says, "When they came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus." See, we tend to see things from our viewpoint, but God sees so much more. We know that in our minds, but when we experience it, it rocks us to the very core of who we are. And it causes us to think, who are we really serving? And it causes us to question, where is God in this? Well, when Paul saw Titus, Paul had this revelation and he proclaims, and this is our theme verse, proclaimed boldly when Titus met up with him, he said, "Thanks be to God, who always leads us in His triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place." You see, it came out of that context of depression and discouragement that Paul proclaimed this boldly. What does it mean, and how can we experience this triumph? It says God always leads us in His triumph. What keeps us from this triumph? Well, Paul says also in chapter 5, verse 17, and let's read this verse together as well in your notes. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." You see, When we come to faith in Christ, we become new creatures, and then we begin a process. We've been made in the image of Christ, but that process is one of being conformed to the image of his Son, and it comes through trials, and it comes through situations that cause us to question, where is God in this? And that brings us back to, are we really finding our hope in Christ? And out of that, then God leads us in his triumph. Today we're going to consider this calling of triumph in Christ as we look at the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to focus on how it's applied not only in our lives but among the Azerbaijani people. And that this chapter 2, verse 14, this theme verse, was the theme verse for our team. So in a sense, this message and what we're going to share with you has been in preparation for 4 months in our hearts, and we want to share it with you. So what is Paul saying? He is saying, first of all, that God is glorified as we triumph in Christ. God is glorified as we triumph in Christ. The example Paul uses is of a Roman general. Pastor King preached on this last year, so it may come back to your mind clearly, of the picture of this Roman triumph, this parade. And this general is being honored because he's overcome a huge army, and he has expanded the territory of the Roman Empire. And he's marching in victory with his soldiers who share in his glory and his joy of victory. But also in that parade are prisoners from the battle who are marching to certain death. Now, in that parade, they also have incense. And everyone smells the aroma of that incense. And you know, the incense has a message to everyone, to those who are the general's subjects, citizens of Rome, the soldiers. It's an aroma of life because they have victory. To those who are marching to their death, it's an aroma of death because they know what's ahead of them. And in the same way, Paul uses this imagery because Christ is our conquering general. Christ is the one that's overcome death. Christ is the one who, by dying on the cross and rising from the dead, he gives us new life, overcomes Satan's kingdom. And Paul is proclaiming, we always are led in triumph in Christ. But this triumph in Christ is in the context of trials, just as Paul experienced. And it's out of the testing of our faith that we, on a daily basis, recognize in new ways how we can experience this triumph. We want to look at the process of how we triumph in Christ. And the first point is, we triumph when we are transformed as we live by faith in the midst of trials. When we live by faith in the midst of trials. Paul describes his triumph when he reflects in the following verses, who is adequate for these things? He thinks about this triumph and he says, who is adequate for these things? And then he goes on in the following verses and he says, such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In the following verses, Paul says that all people have a veil over their minds so that they cannot understand and respond to the truth, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. But when a person turns to the Lord, that veil is removed, and they can experience the life and the glory of Christ, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Then they begin a journey of faith that as they experience freedom from the power of sin, and as they experience Christ's righteousness, they're transformed from one image of glory to another. In verse 8, chapter 3, verse 18, let's read that together. What Paul says, he says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. You see, we receive the glory of Christ in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And God wants that to be an increasing experience of glory and of triumph. And we experience that as we behold the glory of the Lord. What that is, it's a daily trust in who Christ is, coming back to the cross, recognizing what Christ has done for us on the cross and freeing us from sin and giving us his righteousness. And then recognizing that it's a choice on a daily basis. Am I going to trust in Christ and all that I have been given in Christ, or am I going to trust in myself? And when we trust in Christ and what he's done for us, then we triumph in Christ. But this isn't taking place in a vacuum. As we said, this takes place in the midst of trials. And Paul reveals the reality of the spiritual warfare and how to experience transformation through these trials. In chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, he says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful, for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." See, Satan has the ability to put thoughts in our minds which challenge the truth of God, which challenge who we are in Christ. And Paul says, we take those thoughts to the Lord, and we, in a new, fresh way, every time a trial or temptation comes, we come back to who Christ is and who we are in Christ, and we choose to follow Christ and join him in his triumph rather than trying to follow ourselves and our thoughts or someone else's thoughts. When Tanny and I miscarried, and we experienced that tremendous discouragement, we took that confusion in our minds and we took it to the Lord and we said, "Lord, what are you saying to us?" And that was the process of God speaking to us about what his will was for foster care and then adoption. In every area of the trial of our lives, we have to take those thoughts before the Lord and in a fresh way, commit them to him. Parents, when your life seems overwhelming, come back to Christ and realize he is your strength in your weakness. Children and students, don't find your hope and security and friendships. Yes, you want to have friendships, but find your security in Christ. He is your friend, and he enables you then to be the right friend. Seniors, when you struggle with your health failing and you wonder, where is God in this? You see your loved ones going on to glory. You say, "Lord, what's going on?" Come back to who you are in Christ and find your hope and peace in him. And for all of us, we struggle on a daily basis of who are you going to live for, our priorities, our values. Are we going to come back to who Christ is and who he's made us to be and triumph in Christ as we give him the glory, we behold his glory and commit ourselves to following Christ? A couple of our team members, Kim McCour and Drew Hagelin, are going to come and they're going to share about those that we met in Azerbaijan experiencing this triumph.
Good morning. I'm delighted to share this story of transformation from our experience in Azerbaijan. We met Grinnell through our host and had the pleasure of having dinner with her and her family. I might say that their hospitality was excellent as well as the meal. Grinnell helped us and assisted us throughout the trip. She was very welcoming, open and genuine, and generally made herself available for anything we needed to get done. She became a Christian through her mother, who also became a Christian through a friend who attended a house church in Azerbaijan. And written in her own words, this is her Grinnell story of transformation. "I have received Christ 8 years ago. It has been a long time for me to follow God, but every day I learn many new things. Yes, I have been transformed since I have put my faith in him. The day that I repented and received Christ, I had incredible joy and peace in my heart that I had never had before, and I felt as light as a bird. I had a lot of fear in my heart before Christ. I had fear of God that he would judge me for all the wrong that I had done. But in my heart, I was thinking to myself, maybe God is not the same as I thought. I always heard that God is God, and we must respect him. He will judge us for our sins, but I had never heard he loves us. Even though there is fear in my heart, there is also a little hope. Maybe he is not like that. Maybe he loves us. Maybe he wants us to have a loving relationship with him. When I heard Jesus loves us and he died on a cross because he loves us, I had a feeling in my heart that this is what I was looking for. This is the God that I need. As soon as I received Christ, the fear left and God filled my heart with his love. That's why I felt as light as a bird. I was very shy, very serious, and a secluded kind of person. I mean, I was not used to sharing my thoughts and feelings with others, and I did not have many friends. I often felt alone, and I did not even share this either. I met with my friends to pray about it, healing prayer. And God revealed some things from my childhood. I remember the stories that I forgot before. I still struggle with it, but praise God that he is healing my heart day by day. In many ways, I feel that God has transformed me. I am a new person because he has changed my character. The sad, secluded, serious person is gone, and a different person has come. I learned how to be happy and how to keep joy in my heart and how to be thankful. I want to share with you about my relationship with my dad. Before I was a believer, we had problems in my family. But after we found Jesus, the situation started to get worse. It has always been difficult for me to show love for my father because he has done so many things to my mom and us. When I received Christ in my heart, he started to work in my heart about not hating my dad, but loving him. And God has been protecting my heart from that time. Sometimes I think, if I did not know Jesus, I would hate my father, the bad things that he had done to my mom and us, and I would never forgive him. But I am surprised. How I cannot hate him. You know, when I think about it deeply, I do not see any hatred. And I'm very sure it's from God.
Towards the end of our trip, we were invited to the home of an Azeri believer named Ghana. So we hopped on a bus, drove across town, and ended up in the slummy back alley. All of its loveliness you can see back there. It was the site of her apartment building. Inside, we found Ghana, her two daughters, and her niece preparing our meal on the floor of the apartment, which was not much larger in size than the walk-in closet of my family's home. Previously, we had learned that Uganda's husband had abandoned her and her daughters, that she had recently lost both of her jobs, and that she was in danger of losing what little of a home she had. However, during our entire visit with her, Ghana never once complained about her unfortunate situation, but instead only asked for our prayers. She was eager to talk about her relationship with Christ, how she came to her faith, and the impact that Christ has had in her life. Despite all the trouble she is facing, despite her being surrounded by a Muslim world where Christianity is looked down upon, it was obvious to us that Ghana had complete faith in Jesus Christ and trusted him with all of her heart. Our team traveled to Azerbaijan with the hope of being an example to the unreached peoples that live there. Ghana ended up being an example to us. Thanks.
Thank you, Ken and Drew. We want to be praying for Gunel and Ghana, that God will continue to work in their hearts as they experience God's transformation and triumph. We experience triumph in Christ, first of all, as God transforms us, we trust him in trials. We also triumph as we serve together. We triumph as we demonstrate teamwork when we pray and serve one another in Christ. Paul illustrated this in several ways in the book of 2 Corinthians as he wrote back to this church. He realized the value of teamwork, and he credited the Corinthians for helping him in his trials. Let's read together the verse, chapter 1, verse 11. You also, in helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Paul thanked them for their prayers and realized that they were a part of what God was doing in his life in planting the church. He also, in verses later in that chapter, he said he planned to come to visit them again and referred to a prior visit with Silvanus and Timothy when they preached the gospel to them. And so as he was preaching the gospel and planting churches, he did it as a team and used various teams members' gifts. He also was committed to teamwork so much that's why he was vulnerable and became discouraged when he didn't see Titus and wondered what God was doing. It was so important to him, even though there was a door open for the Lord for the gospel in Troas, he left Troas so that he could go to Macedonia and try to find his teammate. And it was there that he declared in chapter 7, verses 6 to 7, "But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus, not only his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as it reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more." Paul writes back and thanks them for comforting Titus, and he affirms the teamwork that we need in living in triumph in Christ and proclaiming the gospel. It's so important for us to value one another. We are all part of God's creative triumph, and we need one another to encourage one another in the faith every day, to pray for one another and use gifts together. And Rachel Seibig is going to come and share how several organizations we saw in Azerbaijan are working together for the gospel.
The most profound and encouraging example of teamwork I saw and experienced in Azerbaijan came when our team was invited to a network team meeting. The network is what four mission agencies in Azerbaijan call themselves. These agencies have decided to join together for the common goal of reaching the country for Christ through a church planting movement. A church planting movement is where the missionaries seek to start house groups, train up leaders within the house groups, and encourage them to go out and start more house groups. It's not about a building. It's about the Christians taking ownership of their faith, spreading, reproducing, and hopefully and prayerfully igniting the passion for Christ throughout the country in a way that manifests the gospel through the Azerbaijani culture. This shows humility by the missionaries, as they are not trying to promote themselves and put them in a place where the Azerbaijani believers are leaning on them, but are seeking to encourage and liberate the believers to practice and grow in their understanding of Christ, as mentioned in 2 Corinthians 1:24. Throughout the meeting, it was amazing to hear from the missionaries, some of who had been in the country for 17 years. Hearing the story gave such perspective as to God's timing and what he can accomplish in his time and in his way. It was clear to see 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 at work as they comforted and encouraged each other from their past experiences, joys, and failures. In hearing how they work with each other and their excitement and vision of the church planting movement, it was clear that they truly viewed their work as being complementary, as recognizing and valuing each other as members of the body of Christ. There was no underlying competition of who had the most converts or which groups were doing better. They rejoiced together in the Mount the House Church is had grown and in the development of the leaders within the church. They made the decision not to bicker over their small differences, but instead to seek to focus their attention on reaching the Azerbaijani people for Christ. The wonderful thing about this is the recognition of the missionaries that they are only part of the body. They are not the head and driving force. They are simply sharing the gospel, discipling and enabling the believers to take ownership of their faith and spread it throughout the country. This is such a beautiful and tangible picture of the body of Christ. Teamwork, as I would normally picture it, as I think most Americans normally would. But that is not the end to how God demonstrates the body of Christ at work. You see, after hearing that Cherrydale had adopted the Azerbaijani people group, Chelsea and I decided to start a prayer group and have been meeting twice a month since December with a few other people in the church to pray for the Azerbaijani people. We told the missionaries about this prayer time, and the response we always received was one of extreme gratitude. It was clear from speaking and listening to the missionaries that they viewed prayer as vital to the work they were doing. They continually told us of the need they have of prayer and the great appreciation of those who are praying for them and the Azerbaijani people. God's ways are clearly not our ways. It is a mystery to me that being so far away, we can have such an impact on another part of the world, on a people we may never even meet. But the truth is, we can. Paul references this in 2 Corinthians 1:11, thanking others for their prayers. Our prayers unite us with the Azerbaijani people and show that even if we cannot go, we can join in the work and sufferings of our brothers and sisters around the world. As 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So Cherrydale, here in America, can and is taking an active role in spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth by intentionally focusing on and praying for the Azerbaijani people. What could be more wonderful than being here in America and seeing how big, grand, and wonderful God is to use us here to shape the world? Of course, I hope and pray that is not the only way that we will choose to be used. I hope that the thought of going to encourage and spur on the missionaries and Christians has more than crossed your mind, that you have considered not just praying privately for the Azerbaijani people, but have considered joining in prayer, in corporate prayer, whether at the prayer meetings, with your family, or in some other setting. But my greatest hope and prayer is that you would know, understand, and appreciate the incredible value and important role that you can take by the seemingly simple act of praying for these people. You, here, now, are a vital member of the body of Christ and of extreme importance in spreading the gospel around the world.
Thank you, Rachel. So we triumph in Christ as we're transformed, as we live by faith in the midst of trials, and as we demonstrate teamwork by praying for one another and serving together. Then, as we triumph in Christ, God manifests his truth through us, both through our life and through our speech. As we triumph, and only when we triumph, can God manifest his truth through us, through our life and our speech. Paul states in chapter 3, verses 2 to 3, that the Corinthians were a letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men. A letter of Christ written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Their life was a testimony to the grace of God through the gospel. Paul says in chapter 4, verses 3 to 6, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. See, when we turn to Christ, God puts the light of the glory of Christ in us. And then when we live for Christ, we triumph in Christ, that light shines to others. Or not, if we're not living for Christ. The fruit of the Spirit can be displayed through us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control can shine through us if we're living in triumph in Christ or not. So how are we living? See, it's like a constant YouTube where you see what's going on in somebody's life, whether they want you to see it or not. You're a constant video for others to see. Are you triumphing in Christ or are you not? That's the first level of testimony, the first way God displays the aroma of the life of Christ. And to those who don't know him, it's aroma of death. When we live for Christ, people don't like it because they see God's righteousness, they see God's glory, and they begin to criticize, they begin to argue, or they don't want to have anything to do with us because we are living for Christ, and it's aroma of death to them. So are we living in triumph in Christ so that the aroma of life and death goes forth from our life? That's the first level of testimony. The second is through our speech. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 17, we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. And he continues in chapter 3, verse 12. Let's read this one together. Having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. You see, when we live in triumph in Christ, we can use boldness in our speech because it's not us, it's Christ in us. And Paul goes on to use other terms like preaching the gospel and persuading in chapter 5. And then in chapter 5, verse 18, let's read this one together. He says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, this is a ministry God's given to all of us, to be this aroma of life to the believing and this aroma of death and conviction to the unbelieving. Are we allowing this aroma to shine through us? It's only as we're living in triumph in Christ. And then we need to take initiative to pray for opportunities so we can speak and share with others. And we need to look for those open doors where we can tell other people about what Christ has done in our heart. Chelsea Chung is going to come and share an experience in the IDP village.
While we were in Goromboy in the local village, we had the opportunity to distribute gift packs at the local school. The girls, Rachel and I, we stayed with Hokume, who's the principal of the school, the woman in that picture over there. One morning, Rachel and I were doing our devotions, and Hokume asked Tracy, the missionary, what are they doing? Tracy responded, they're writing their prayers. Later that day, as the men went to get the meat for dinner, we got into a conversation with Hokume about Muslim women obeying their husbands and just started talking to her about faith and good works. And we asked her, do you believe that God loves you? She said yes, because God had answered her prayers. Now, Hokume was a very superstitious woman. She believed that by doing certain things, good luck would ensue, meaning that God loves her and blesses her. As we were talking to her, she brought up our devotions times again. And she asked us, what do you pray about? And we seizing this opportunity, I told her, I thank God that he loves us and that we don't have to do good works to be accepted by him, but he accepts us because of what Christ did on the cross. She listened, and immediately after the phone rang, cutting short our conversation. Now, our team spent a lot of time with Hokume and her family. We were able to have other conversations with her and just display God's love to her through interacting with her kids and her family.
Thank you, Chelsea. Couple other examples. On the second day of our ESL classes, one of the young men, Arash, asked the question, so what is the difference between Christians and Muslims? Well, you have to be very careful not to proselytize, but he asked the question so we could answer it. And so I began with the five prophets that of Islam and contrasted the prophets with Christ and with Islam. And I ended with the contrast between Christ and Muhammad. And I encouraged him at the end of that to continue seeking God's truth. We pray that he will come to faith. Another example was with Jaehoon, our bus driver in the IDP, which means internally displaced persons village. He had driven us out, took a full day to get there, and the day we were in the village, and then the day back, we had several meals with him. He saw us interacting with others and befriending people. And in the final lunch, we asked him about his faith, and we shared with him some of the things that we were doing, and we just pray that God would use the seeds that we planted with him to draw him to faith in Christ. You see, as we triumph in Christ, God puts opportunities before us. We just live our life, and we take those opportunities, but we have to be triumphing in Christ for those opportunities to be there and for us to be ready to share, for people to see it in our life, and then to take initiative to share our faith. As we step back and we look at our theme verse, let's say it again. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. As we put our faith in Christ, he makes us new creatures. And then he begins to transform us to the image of Christ. And we trust him by faith through our trials. And we work together as a team. And then we take opportunity to share our faith. God is glorified. It's his parade. So the question is, are we going to follow him in his parade? He always leads us in triumph, but we have to follow. What steps will you take this week to live in triumph in Christ? Would you behold his glory in the gospel and be transformed to the image of Christ? Will you seek his perspective in your trials? Will you speak boldly about his grace in your life? Perhaps you want to start by memorizing this verse, chapter 2, verse 14, and pray that God would speak to you about how you can apply this and experience his strength in your weakness to triumph in Christ.
Would you bow me as we come before the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we praise you that your heart and your love is big enough to be extended to the Azerbaijani people. And we thank you that you've called us to enter into that heart of yours to see the Azerbaijani come to Jesus. And we do pray that there would be many in this generation, that there would be a great host of Azerbaijanis gathered around the throne of Jesus throughout eternity, worshiping him, for the triumph that they've experienced in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.